Kurt and Kate Mornings, not just on the radio.
It's a podcast, too.
What if your life, follower of Jesus, was immersed in mercy? In a culture that is kind of short on compassion, maybe that's difficult for you to even picture, to imagine. There's not nearly enough patience or tenderness in the world. Would you agree with that? Maybe you're in the middle of a hard season right now, and you feel down. Maybe you're struggling to show mercy and kindness to the people in your life. In this noisy world, God's heart beats hard with love and mercy. But how can God share his heart with us when he doesn't have our attention? What is this whole idea of mercy and God's mercy extended to us? This is a beautiful topic of conversation. We invited Bible teacher, pastor, and author Craig Allen Cooper to be with us. He has a book out that it's wonderful. It's just each chapter, there's very short chapters. It's like a devotional talking about various aspects of life and God's mercy entering into our lives. I enjoyed my conversation with him. Let's pick things up right here. Your new book is Overflowing Mercies, 100 Meditations on the Tender Heart of God. Okay, your heart for this book is you wanted to unveil the tender heart of God for us. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, right, we live in a noisy world, and God's, well, his heart beats hard with love and mercy for us, but how can we share his heart with us when he doesn't have our attention? How can we really feel that love that he wants to pour out on us? And our God is a merciful God, just one of many wonderful attributes of who he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I just heard on the turn there that Mark Twain quote, the best way to cheer yourself up is by trying to cheer somebody else up. And that's really why I wrote the book. I wrote it for myself, my own soul. I struggle with discouragement. I struggle at times with despair. I struggle, you know, with just feeling low. And we talked about, you mentioned the Today Show, that was one thing that really resonated with people when Walker Hayes and I went on the Today Show, and we were sharing about Glad You're Here, and they were asking about how my friendship with Walker has really affected me. And I shared a story about when we were sitting at the table in my dining room, and I just apologized. I said, guys, I'm so sorry. I'm so low right now. And Walker put his fork down, leaned across the table, and said, it's okay, bro. We love you low. And that really resonates. We love you low. God loves us low. God loves us in our low, you know, estate. And it's he's close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. He's near. And so for some reason, my constitution goes that way at times where I get discouraged and I can be downcast. And so I really wrote the book to encourage other people. And what I found out is really that Mark Twain quote is true. The best way to cheer yourself up is trying to cheer somebody else up. And so it has a dual effect, and it's been encouraging for my soul as well.
You know, joy can be in short supply many times because of the discouragement factor. And there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness, so it seems to me, depends a lot upon our circumstances, but that joy of the Lord, that joy in who God is, that doesn't depend on circumstances, and we can be joyful and not be necessarily happy. It's interesting, that dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is, you know, because, I mean, occasions of joy are sure to come, but they oscillate like the weather, you know, like we talked about in the changing of seasons. And so I think for our joy to be constant, it's got to be grounded in something that is firmer than our own fluctuating fortunes. And, you know, things that go up and down, you know, for us. And If you have no joy in your present circumstances, you know, you can still rejoice in God's presence. And God's presence is always with us. And because it's always with us, we always have reasons to rejoice. And we rejoice in Him, in the Lord. And then we find a lot of times our hearts begin to soften and change. And so I love what you just said there, Kurt. And that's really what I'm trying to do in this devotional is just lift everybody's eyes, mine first and foremost, off of myself and off of my circumstances and onto the Lord and onto His goodness and onto His kindness, His mercy, His favor, His grace that rests on us in Jesus that has nothing to do with our performance, our achievements, our accolades, you know, because those are, I mean, they just come and they go. But His presence remains and it's always with us. And so I think joy, real joy, is found in Him.
Yeah. I like the words you use there too. And talking about goodness and kindness, really, you know, God's kindness and His mercy. This is synonymous, isn't it? I mean, these two words are just, they go together.
Yeah, they do. I love, you know, the Lord, the gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and mercy. That's who our God is. And he's good. He's kind. He's loving. He's merciful. He's gracious. Over and over and over again in Scripture, you see that where the Lord is unveiling His heart for us, which is what ultimately led Him to send His Son for us, that we could be forgiven of our sins and granted the gift of eternal life. And it's not based on our performance. It's based out of His eternal love. It's an everlasting love. And because it's everlasting, it doesn't change like the weather. And so that's encouraging.
Encouraging. You know what that is, Craig? That's true stability, isn't it?
It is. And isn't that that's what we all crave? I know for me, I mean, and people can crave it in looking at the bank account. You can crave it in wanting to have a solid relationship, you know, with your spouse. You can crave it with your family. You can crave that with, you know, your professional career or whatever. But yeah, at the end of the day, what we're wanting is to know that we are loved and accepted and known, to be known and to be fully known and fully loved. It's really what we want. And we have that. We have that in Jesus. Man, and that's what I want people to hear and feel, you know, feel God's heart for them.
Thank you for taking some time to listen to this episode of the Kurt and Kate Mornings Podcast. We always welcome a review with your thoughts and comments, and please feel free to subscribe and follow us as well.
When I think about God's mercy too, I often go to Lamentations chapter 3, starting at verse 22. This is the NASB translation of this. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. They are new each and every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, so His compassions never fail. His mercies never fail either, and it's His mercies are based in that great compassion for us. It's not like, you know, we ignore the fact that He's holy and just and and all of that, but we need to see a full picture of God. The problem is, in our human, fallen, finite minds, We just focus on some attributes of God and then maybe ignore the other ones. How can we get the right picture of God? It's right-sizing Him. Yeah, that's a part of it. But how can we get the full picture of who God is without it being tipped in one direction or the other, one extreme to the other? How should we do this? How do we approach that?
Boy, that's a great question, Kurt. Man, I really appreciate it. Yeah, you know, God has revealed Himself in the Scriptures, and you know, when you read Psalm 19, He's revealed Himself in creation. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God; the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech; night after night, they display knowledge. There's no speech, there's no language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out into all the world and echo to the ends of the earth. But also, in that same Psalm, it talks about how God's revealed Himself through Scripture. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. You know, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoice in the heart. The commandments of the Lord are trustworthy. All of this, and I think reading the Scriptures And going through the scriptures on a regular basis is going to give you a full picture of God in His holiness, His justice, His mercy, and His grace and His compassion, and all of that, this full picture of Him. So that's, you know, that's what I've tried to do. I am on my 26th trip through the Bible. Just try to read through it every year, and I've got a plan. It's oneyearbible.com, I believe is what I use, where you can find it. Yep. And I like to start from the Proverbs because it's the shortest entry, and then I go to the Psalms, and then I go to the New Testament, and then I read the Old Testament. And in that way, just soaking my soul in the full picture of who God is, because you're not really going to understand His mercy until you understand His holiness. And when you understand His holiness, and then you realize that He must oppose sin, you know, then you're going to understand when He forgives sin through faith in Jesus, the perfect, righteous Son of God, the sacrifice for sinners, then your mind will be blown away, and it will reduce you to just tearful wonder and heartfelt praise that you have been forgiven if you're a believer through faith in Jesus. And so I would say reading through the scriptures is really the way that I have sought to do that, get a full picture of God.
Choose the one thing that nobody can ever take away from you, and that is your relationship with Jesus, your salvation. I mean, your salvation is out of the hands of your worst enemies, the worst circumstances of life. Mm-hmm. That is, there again, that is great stability. I love this gospel talk. It's wonderful. Let's go to Chet, who's joining us from Lake Wales this morning. Hey, Chet, welcome to the conversation. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. What I wanted to say is thank you for the hope that you're giving the listeners, because the hope we have in Jesus is not a hope so. It's more solid than the concrete under our feet. And the expression I'm using is people's hope tank is empty if they're not running on fumes. And we have got great, great, great news in Jesus.
Amen. Well said, my friend. Craig, we have an open phone policy. Folks can chime in no matter what we're talking about.
That's awesome.
I love his heart, don't you?
Yeah, I do, Chad. That was amazing. Thanks for sharing that. I love that hope tank. I work with Dr. Gary Chapman. He talks about the love tank, you know, and whether or not love tank is full. So I was thinking of that as he shared hope tank. And yeah, people need hope. They need hope. We're in a world that is just full of outrage and despair, and you know, it's a very discouraging world. We want to be, as believers, people filled with hope, full of hope in a discouraging world, and it'll shine like a light for those. And they'll ask, you know, what in the world is different? And we can tell them about Jesus. So that's great, Chad. Thank you for sharing that.
You know what I love about this book? I mean, it's a cool-looking book, okay? It looks really nice. The design of this is great. And since I'm a book guy, I can say that because I'm kind of into the way they look. And don't laugh at me, but I'm into the way they smell sometimes, too.
I don't laugh at that. That is the first thing I do, Kerr. I pull it out, and I smell the inside of it, and I hold it. Yeah, it's great.
I'm not the only one. I'm not nuts. Nope. I'm not crazy.
Nope. It's amazing. I love the way they did that.
It's just, yeah, they really pulled out all the stuff. It's just an attractive book. But here's the deal. You can use this as a daily devotional, because you just, I mean, there's some of the chapters, to all who are thirsty, God's usual way, feel the relief. Let's see, how to fight your fear. God changes seasons. When you feel anxious, guys, this is like practical theology. It's taking God's word, taking His truth, and putting it into bite-sized pieces that are not shallow, that are not Band-Aid solutions to your challenges, but deep truths. But I don't know. I remember things, Craig. I remember things more easily, which helps me apply them, when I'm not overwhelmed with the details, where I can focus on the one thing. So you take each one of these chapters, these short chapters, and basically you're like, okay, here's the one thing. This is the next thing. This is the next thing. I think that's great the way you structured this.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's I've read for years and years a devotional by Charles Spurgeon. He lived in the 1800s. For anybody who doesn't know, he was a Baptist pastor. He wrote a devotional called Morning and Evening, and my copy of it is tattered and torn and just all over the place. Yeah. And so I really had a desire to be able to serve people in modern English, you know, and in the similar way that he has served me over the years, and that's really in 2 to 3 minutes you can read something that just immediately recenters you on eternal realities, and I love that. So that's what I was doing there. And in terms of, you know, glad you're here. If anyone who read that, it's the story of our friendship, my friendship with Walker Hayes. That a lot of people have talked about how they saw the hands and the feet of Jesus in that story, really for the benefit of both of us, of both of our families. And so I was wanting to say, okay, if you see the hands and feet of Jesus in that, what is his heart? What's the heart of Christ for us? And that's what this daily devotional is doing, is trying to say, come in, friend, sit at the feet of Jesus, and within a few minutes, he's going to recenter you on eternal realities about his heart for you.
Good stuff. Hey, Craig, thanks for being with us. Always enjoy our conversations. I hope you'll come back again.
Hey, thanks, Kurt.
Thanks for listening to Kurt and Kate Mornings Podcast. Please take a minute to follow, subscribe, and review us. And no matter where in the world you are, you can listen to us live from 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays on the Moody Radio app.